Okay, so today is Saturday, May 9th, and let's do the second part of this five parts workshop. For the sake for those of you that were not here today, I will do a very, very quick overview of what we've done up to this point, and then we move to the new part, okay? So, first thing that you must know is that we are dealing with Frank O'Gehry, this architect, a very, very relevant architect that, of course, many of you know by fame, and we are trying to understand his formmaking principle, his ideas as a way to apply to an exercise that you are going to do tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. And all the material it is in the internet is, as far as you know how to go, is rather simple. You go in this way. You just Google my name. This is important, particularly for those of you that were not here. I am Antonino Saggio. This is my name. And the first choice is this, which is this one. Is this website. All the materials about this lecture is in this website, but with an hidden link. We created a hidden link on the face of Gehry here. So, if you click here, nothing happens. If you click on Gehry's face, you arrive to this page that is the home of our lecture, series of lectures. What the changes from yesterday, you may have known, I included the audio of yesterday's talk. This is for future memories, it's more for your grandchildren than for you. But it is there. So it works. So you can, if you understand that you missed something important because yesterday you were not here, you can listen
to
the whole thing here, okay?
And,
with 2 hours and more of registration, and we'll do the same for the others. So there is memory of what we have done. Although if there is only for one person, this is very interesting for him to or her to have. The actual lecture, you go to the lecture through this link, go to the lecture, and the lecture is organized in 6 keywords about Frank Gehry. And each keyword is a verb, is an action, and we'll try to understand how this way of making it is carried through Gehry in different phases, what is the approach, what you can do with that idea, and what are the cultural and historical and context reference to that action, because of course every action is also related culturally and historically. Part of this material will be on this book that I'm pretty sure that the library should have, and it will be also partially in the new book that is going to be out in September, October. Actually, Lady Ambregasi told me that he actually took care of the translation of this, of some of this part. That, of course, is not exactly the same, but is there. So the first key word that we discussed was assemble, and we understood that why that approach was so relevant, why it has to do with a kind of a mental imprinting, a mental landscape of Gehry. And we saw some reference to art, to popular art particularly, and particularly we discussed about the issues of cheapscape. When you have this idea in mind, I think you start to look things differently. You start to understand that there is an energy in not formal landscape. There is an energy in informality. There is an energy on process that are not top down, but are kind of down up. So that's generated by the energy almost raw in different situations. So these type of ideas are kind of important to start to do architectural actions that in some way are tuned to this type of environment. And so it is clearly very natural to think in this way when you think to situation like the southern Italy, Greek, and surely Albania, etc. So places that there is a high level of informality and that can be reused in terms of energy for architecture, if you are able to tune with that. So Gary was very instrumental in understanding this, and so we saw projects and search in that direction, and we understood that this is an important mental tool. It's really a new aesthetic through which you can approach these situations, and this applies, I think, very, very well to many situations in your homeland. So it's important to start to build this type of ideas and have a new look at things and transform that as the forces of architecture. So I think on this, Gary is very, very, very important in this aspect. Then we discussed about this verb. The verb was spaziare. Where is the list of... No, fate arrivare. Grazie. Ok. So, one Ermal did not, no, Ermal arrived. Ermal Oka is here and the other Ermal is here. Both Ermals are here. So can you explain a little bit what does it mean, this word spaziare, how we use that and why these are the main important categories? How we play with it, we discussed yesterday. Just for the sake of the person that's not here. If you want, you can do it in Albanese. Because the other will double check. And Legend will double check, if it makes sense. Actually, I would prefer that you do it in Albanese, so the others will see if it makes sense or not. Let's say that the other person, the other Mal can say some other things. Did you express the idea, the pragmatic aspect of it?
Yes.
Ah, okay, he did it. Okay. Was it pretty much complete, Legion, or something could be added or could be clarified? Could you, please? Yeah, why not? So we have... do it in Albanese if you want. I think it is very interesting to have a...
Because the
Good. Yes. I think it is very interesting experiment, particularly for those that follow this in English. You know, there will be a shock for them. Then you are talking in Albanese, but it's nice to create. I like that. So, all right. So we basically expended that time on these first keywords, and now we go to a third one. That it is really in English is effective. It is really to cut. Yeah. So it is more in a way than just to space or to spaziare. Really, the idea that you create formative tension and expressive tension as you are a surgeon that you are cutting. You know, so it is really this idea of cut. That is, in a way, it is more dramatic of just create the space within the thing. And this idea of the cut, as an evolution of that, starts to appear in another project that is a little bit larger than the other. So we are following Gary after his restart, that actually, because the office, you remember all that. So we saw basically it's also professional career to move again up a little bit with a little larger and larger project. But this is still a rather small project. But this is really prototypical. This is it. There is a project that you have to really study with attention is this little project. Because can be prototypical of many actions that you can do in a situation similar to that happened to a young professional or to a student at the end of his career or something like that. You will be very difficult that at the beginning you are going to do a large museum or a skyscraper, you know, or a large town planning. But it'd be rather reasonable that you can have a project in the first 5 or 6 years of, you know, more or less this size. And I think this is really interesting to study once you understand many things that are embodied in this project and really think as a strategy, and later on this becomes, of course, can be inspirational for the exercise of tomorrow. By the way, some of you have done the exploration with the materials, I'm sure, right? Yesterday. You can tell these things very briefly to the people that were not here, so they can try in the night to have this, if it is possible. Anyway, we'll talk at the end. So, why is so interesting this little project to study? First of all, because it is a little mixité project, we call. So the area is, you see, as a very small. It's like a block that you can have in one of any main road here. So the type of size that will be probably around 35 by 40 or something like that. You know, the size is rather typical lot. And first thing that you have to feel is this idea that the functions are a mixité function. This is very important. What does it mean that it is a mixité? That it is a mix of commercial, working, leisure functions, or remixed together. And this is something that happens more and more and more and more in the contemporary city, and particularly starts, of course, to happen in Tirana as well. This process of the mixité is something that goes very much with the contemporary city, because the contemporary city itself tend to have more and more mixed functions. And this is a process that goes in all aspects. You know, a gas station tends to be not more a gas station today. It tends to be lots of things together, you know, or a little commercial center or a little shops. It's not only there. There is other aspects. Often residential parts are mixed with these other functions. So cultural, work, economical, function tend to be more and more mixed together. This is one of the aspects of contemporary society, because contemporary society tend not to work with differentiation of time, differentiation of zoning, differentiation of functions, like with the whole idea of the industrial, but much more the idea of the mix. And the idea of the mix, it comes clearly by our potential in terms of technology. More and more our technology is a mixed technology, a multitask technology. So if you ask what does a computer do, it's clearly that it does hundreds of different things. Like if you ask an old machine, what does it do? Either it is a dishwasher, or it's a car, or whatever. Instead, the symbol of our products, that is the computer or the iPhone, etc., there are more and more kind of mixture of things. They can do lots of things, and lots of things at the same time. So this idea, in a way, is also incorporated with the idea of the mixité. So this is a typical little mixité project, and have different functions within it. On one side, you can look at it as a little shop center. On the other, there is a little museum inside, and then there is some offices, and on the back will be some little residence. So it's a kind of mini town in itself. So that is given. So the mixity of the function is an important principle, that moves a lot of ideas of contemporary functions. The other idea is a very simple and smart, and when you realize, you understand why it is done like that. Again, it's a very, very pragmatic idea, but once you understand, it's a trick in a way, but once you understand the trick, you understand for all the time. Okay. Let's do the game as the other time, or we are still not too awake. Okay, look at this frontage. What is the basic situation of this site? It is the site on a main street, right? This is given. And so being a site on the main street, what is the basic aspect of it? That it has a front on the main street and a back on a back street. It's tautological, right? Pretty evident. But what is the very, very, very important pragmatic relationship with this idea that there is a front on the main street and a back on the real back street? What is the pragmatic consequence of this? Marcella. Do I reformulate the question? Pragmatic means practical, or if you want to be a little more precise, you want to illuminate, you just put a dollar sign on it, okay? So if I put a dollar sign or a leca sign or an arrow sign, what does it mean, this thing? Gerdi. Go ahead, Gerdi.
I think it's runaway, but we see on the main street, they create a space creating shops, while these creating interior space, creating more space to create commercial functions. So more shops, more...
Nobody will... I don't even understand myself if you understood the questions. The elements are there, but they are not expressed in any logical sense. So there is a front and there is a back. And they are very different. And there is a dollar sign on it. Then, what is the consequences, in a simple phrase?
We would have different, we don't have regular forms. Maybe each
No. You have to focus on the question, not on your own thing. There.
I think that in the main we have openness.
Not look at the project. Think at the problem. Don't look at the solution. Look at the problem. If you have a front and a back, the front is on a main street and the back is on an alley, and then I put a dollar sign, what is the consequences? That whatever I put in the front has a lot of value, and whatever I put in the back has no value. This is the problem. When you are in a front street, what is on the front makes a lot of value. What is on the back, nobody wants to be on the back. Because, of course, the activity is on the front. Right? Is it clear now? Then, in order to try to be smart commercially and pragmatically, what do you do? Here is the solution. You tend to create a facade in the front in order to maximize. The typical, you can create a facade in the front to maximize the front. In this case, what is done instead? You push. You push in. That's the trick. And once you realize in your life, you know it forever. So the trick is exactly because you are on the main front. Exactly because there is this difference between the front and the back, that what you do is don't do the traditional thing that you maximize with a stupid storefront the front, but you create an articulation to order to push people inside. So to maximize the value of the all spaces, so not only those in the front, but in some way bringing people in, you maximize the effect, the economical value. Talking pragmatically, you maximize the economical value. That means that the first time that you are going to deal with a problem like that, it is very simple. Instead of doing all the other colleagues will do, so we'll create a stupid shop facade there, you know this trick. That is an economical trick also, besides many other things, that in this way you maximize, because you bring people in, the whole asset. And this is a pragmatic decision that means maximizing value in the architecture and the economical process. So we are not talking of other issues. So this is one thing. And then, so at this point you understand clearly why even certain things in the facade don't even have almost front. Because look at this, for example, no? This is, doesn't have a front because the whole idea is to bring people in through this form. So through this form you actually maximize. Okay. So we understood that. Now, in terms of form making, you understand this very well in this sketch. In this drawing, really this idea of the cut, okay, of the cut becomes very strong. In a way, yes, this is a translation of the operation of separate. You can also read as a separate, but if you look at here, you really almost look how this is almost done like a little river will carve spaces, you know, because of course this is done also because at the same time you have to do a very precise balance between the different things, how these things will bring inside, and, you know, what is the right ratio, etc. But the idea of the cut, I think it is nice to imagine how this thing is done. And then, again, we use here a series of ideas and elements that we knew already from previous iterations. In a way, there is a certain level of expressiveness that these volumes and forces must have in order to not only to be interesting visually, but because also there are, in a way, consequences of attraction to this particular to this particular spot. So on one side you can see them almost as free form or free sculpture. On the other side, they have a kind of important role in making all these places dynamic and interesting. So this is basically the hegemon, this little complex of different things, and here it is, and then we see all the different techniques of the different elements, the different forms, some more iconic, some less. We see rather important the presence of the nets, in particular, you know, in this case, for example, he plays with that. So it's a composition make of this, as I always said in Gary, you must really understand, how can I say, the professionalism that is behind. So you may think without understanding this architecture, just be interested to the form making or not interested for the form making, while the all important thing is also to understand this other layer of things. Okay? Okay, now let's see this one. This is another Laura was talking about this building before. Now, this is a house, another house of Gary, and it is done almost on the same Venice. It's called the Norton, and has some aspects similar to the other one of the Spiller, of the cheapscape that we just mentioned, and at the same time we feel strong this idea, this formal idea that you create some interest by separating the pieces, separating the object. Particularly the symbol of this house, it is this element over here, and which is even symbolically as it makes a point of many things. What is this in your opinion, Figoli? What do you think is this one? This is a house. What do you think it is, this one? On one side it is surely that, and on the other side is a little studio, like a place to write or to do something. It's a kind of a dream house in a way, you know, the idea of the house on the tree, the idea of the little cabanon in which you can be yourself. And today this even makes a lot of sense, because when you are with your personal computer you don't need a lot of space, you know. So this whole idea, I don't remember in the story if that was an idea of Gary or was the client that always wanted that. But this little thing over there is kind of symbolic of many actions in a way, because it is, it's really one thing in which many, many things are together. And then you feel all the informality, all that idea of the cheapscape, all the idea of the separating, how basically this type of architecture reinterpret, gives more energy to the informality of the place, because this is all the idea. Because the idea is that you understand certain forces that are in a way unconscious, undeclared, and you became, through a design action, declared. That's the game. It's the same game of pop art. It's exactly the same game of pop art. Because the thing is, when we see the, for example, I think I have it here, when we see, okay, when we see these things, okay, when we see, this is a piece of art, okay, but when we see this, that becomes art, we start, we have the art status, basically built on our sensibility, visual, mental, conceptual layer as a way to reinterpret the reality. It's a reinterpretation of reality. Through that reinterpretation, you then look at things differently, you behave things differently, you start to rethink many things and find energy in a direction that you didn't expect it was energy. That's the old idea. Hanno capito questo? O glielo diciamo in albanese? Proviamo? Ce lo dici tu?
Può farti vedere nel giorno fa ovviamente un'altra figura che non è è provincia sono tante cose non è tu può farti un po' però in dire per d'ora che mezzo c'è non c'è che ricordo il momento in cui ha ti è spitate gira le artisti da un momento mai non so vero e scrive per non riesci però ti è un fenomeno che dove
E quindi tornando al nostro al nostro progetto so this has all these characteristics and when I was taking the new pictures of this project, I was by accident this one became out of focus, and then I decided to keep out of focus. I think it was a good mistake in this case because really the whole idea here is a kind of one of the places of the imprint, one of the places of the dream. So I really liked this thing. Okay, now, in order to express better what I just said, we can go in, I call it Norton Durazzo. This is a Google image of the place. And just exactly to tell you this. So this idea that you can work within informality, moving in a kind of an aesthetical direction, in an aesthetical direction in which you become aware of the latent energy of those landscapes. So the cheapscape become a force of formmaking, and this is the one of the great idea of Gehry in this phase, a very important idea. That's why we call the book Architetture Residuali, which is a kind of ambiguous terms, like to say, making architecture out of leftovers, or something like that. Residuo in Italian means that. So, is a way that brings that idea. So, I really didn't, I knew all the theory about that. But I was not aware that it was so true before going there in Google. Because I was shocked when I was in Google. I was expecting much more similar to the picture that, you know, when you frame, it is much, much more, formalized. But it is really just the context, okay, the Norton, I think we lost it now where it is. But anyway, it doesn't really matter if it is. You feel that, no? You feel very much. So I picked that particular image to give you the particular in the little alleys, when you see the little alleys. Because again, even here, it's So this is the kind of situation, the kind of energy that is there, but particularly that particular view of the house, which is that one that I put it there, which I think it is exactly the place. Okay. Well, this is this one, eh? Qual è? Questa era? Because I lost the place exactly. Eh? Era questa? Era questa. Eh? Sì, però io volevo stare sulla Allen. Credo che sia quella. Comunque, insomma, adesso è una questione di tempo. But I think that the idea that I wanted to give came through, no? I'm pretty much sure that it's possible to explore more. Okay, Google Maps. Let's go back to our thing. Okay. Okay, so this is something that we put in the category of the separation, but implies again this concept that we were talking together. So basically, at the middle of the 80s, in a way, let's say the new Gehry started again to have a little bit larger projects. And so the production start to be richer. This is another project of this phase that is a psychiatric clinic in New Haven, and it gives you a pretty good example of the way, again, that Gehry has to tackle a medium-sized project, and exactly with the idea is that exactly that idea of the separation in order to create a certain level of tension. So you may imagine that the major part of the functions are inside this part of the building, and then with a series of kind of a separation of things, he creates tension there. This element, all that are combining the final effect. And this one is particularly interesting because they really express very well this idea. You will see that it's more or less the same four principle of the little Belvedere, no? It's a simple thing, but makes a very effective. In this particular case, it is a stairway, and it is done with this principle that you see the first two ramps are free, are basically free to the outside, and the other one instead becomes boxy. In this way, basically the technique of the separation become in some way the force behind these design actions. So there are a series of tricks at the end, you know, there are a series of techniques that you may, if you know, you may utilize in different ways. So, and again, certain things are rather straightforward in Gary architecture, although the complexity, it is very rich visually and things, but then you look at it in attention, in something I've really done in a rather simple way, in terms of plan. This is another case. This is, in a way, is a principle that that even in United States is used, and is also used in other places, including polis. And okay, I will explain you good what is this technique. And this is really as polis in a way. And you say, why is as polis at the beginning? And I will explain you in 1 second, because polis this building, I mean. Let's start from the point of view of form making. Here, the organization is really this one of the cutting of the different pieces. This is an air and space museum. And this is clearly divided in three parts. Each part, though, within the language of Gary, become very strong and independent, are cut it one with the other. And then happens this interesting thing that with this idea of cutting and separate, some objects become figuratively autonomous. And in this particular case, it is almost as a ready-made art, with this real airplane, but that in this case is clearly inserted in the game, in the overall game of the composition, since the whole composition is done with pieces, kind of cutted pieces and remounted pieces, with that kind of strong effect, then you can insert even a real, let's say, piece, like Popart often does, you know, as Oldenburg already was doing it. Years and years before. And so in this phase, the figurative elements becomes almost pop art, large-scale, real thing. That is an operation that is typical of pop art in that moment. But the interesting thing it is why this is as polis. And the answer... The answer, let me see. Okay. The answer is in this image. Although it's almost impossible to realize why this is as polis and what I want to say. Nobody has an intuition. This is another technique. In America, I still remember the professor when he taught us about this technique. It was called Rabinowitz, by the way. Very precise on the economical aspect. I still remember he telling us about the Marocchino effect, and which is exactly the same thing that applies to polis and applies to this building. So in this way, they are identical. And the first time that I say polis, I say, this is an application of the Marocchino effect. So what is the Marocchino effect? Why the two things are similar on that particular aspect? The Marocchino effect says that particularly if you don't have an incredible amount of money, you concentrate the spatial and visual effect of architecture, in certain parts, you cannot allow to have it everywhere. You concentrate only on some parts. So, if you concentrate on some parts, it's called the Marocchino effect. Otherwise, it was taught to us as the Marocchino effect. Somebody asked me why it was called the Marocchino effect. I had no idea, I don't remember why. Then an interfere that probably was coming from the idea that when you sell, for example, tapestry or something like that, you put the best metal on top.
Invite the other. I think that was very good. Something like that. So, very simple. Very simple. Once you understand the technique,
it is very simple.
What happens that is that you have a box. Okay? And the box, it is done as economical or as traditional as you can. Right? The Marocchino effect that is here as in poly, it is that you keep this as it is in the most trivial box-like way that you can, but then you invent something that will create a great special effect, and you put the money, the rationale, and possibly the social life, etc., etc., here. Because, of course, this will maximize the effect, given the amount of money that you can put on it. And you keep, this is very smart, you keep the rest as possible, but you, because it is, this is the reality. This is the reality. And it's again a very logical, pragmatic solution. Very logical, pragmatic solution. And this is exactly the first time that I arrived here, and it was still under construction, because I arrived here in November 2010, and I immediately saw, I said, ah, great, you've done the Marocchino effect. No, because it's very evident, and very logical, and very beautiful also, given the actual constraint, that you created that special, social things effect that creates the maximum and even the quantity to the speech that is very important, of course. And the rest becomes very pragmatic as box-like. And it's exactly the same thing that happens here. Because this is not the aerospace museum. This is just exactly like Polis. It's like the entrance to it, basically, in a way. So when you see it in section, over here, basically there is a circulation, then there are things with double level, but then the real, very large aerospace museum is in this thing that is behind. It was pre-existing, actually, as in this case. It was, this thing was pre-existing, this part. So in this way, you, and this is another trick, in a way, another thing that if you know how to do it, and if you don't know, you don't. And it is rather effective. And again, shows why Gary, behind everything else, is a very, very good professional, something people generally don't understand. So, learning from Las Vegas is Venturi, yes, and then? In this particular phase of Gary, in this particular phase, is the point of a little bit contact between certain idea of let's say, coming from Venturi for an understanding of certain ideas relating to Robert Venturi, and at the same time, particularly of his reading learning on Las Vegas, and some approach of Gary in this phase. Particularly that, for example, this idea of using enlarged artifacts as part of the architecture is an idea that goes from pop art and also from pop art not as, let's say, art, popular art, but with the conscious of art, but only from the normal way that many things in America were done, with the type of naivete that was present in Las Vegas, exactly, that they had, I don't know, the bowling place with the large bowling things, or the baseball place with the baseball hats, or
I don't know, the fast food in the form of a cheeseburger. That is not even popular art, it's just normal things that are in America. So these are coming through the reading of Venturi in a way, and the reading of Venturi and its interpretation of all these things. But there is a very, very important difference in my mind, is that the typical idea of Venturi, and also a little bit of that type of postmodern, is that there is always a kind of irony in these things. It's like you are mocking, you are taking these things and putting in the architecture, but with a kind of sarcastic irony, a little bit. You are playing in that way. While the normal, the strength of Gehry, generally, in his main thing, is really the idea of the energy of the cheapskate, which is different from that. That is a kind of playing with that kind of imagination, a little ironically, I would say. Although it's true that in this particular phase of Gehry, the liaison is very close, is rather close. So the question was very appropriate to specify. Then they will diverge again. So, to make it very simple, the formula, cheapskate is not learning from Las Vegas. First. A different thing. Cheapskates is learning from Durazzo, is not learning from Las Vegas, okay? To make it a very simple formula. But it is true that in the evolution of Gehry's ideas, in a particular moment, certain aspect of, let's say, Las Vegas, to mean what we mean, are incorporated, and then they will diverge again. So in this moment, they are rather close one with the other. Like fluxus is moving in and out, you know. And that is very, very, this idea that learning from Durazzo is fantastic, I think. I don't know if Durazzo is the best place, I mean, Durazzo is a place that I know, and I don't know if it is the best, but just for me, just, since I know it's a place that I know. Anyway.
Quite representative.
It's quite representative, because it's on the sea, etc. So learning from Durazzo is, it could be a good thing. Okay, so this is the perfect example of what we just saw. What's happening here is, again, there is this action of separating, and just, you understand that, like, the cut and the separation is a little bit different than spaziare. Spaziare has the concept to really create the space. Like, here is kind of cutting and putting different pieces, and that there is a tension there. What is interesting here is that this is the agency of a very important advertisement company, the Chat Day Moyo. I think they are those behind a certain Apple important advertisement. But anyway, it's a very important advertisement agency. And Gehry already, in his professional phase, made this building in the 60s, which is the only building that I have now to tell you what type of architecture was making. Very simple and traditional good architecture, basically, you know. This was done by him in his pre-phase. Then he was called again to make this in the mid-80s. Okay, in fact, 75, you see, 86, 91. And he had this idea. He called his friend Oldenburg. Oldenburg is one of these artists, pop art artists. Particularly, Oldenburg always was making that large-scale objects, okay? It's a kind of dilated the scale of the object. That is typical brand of Oldenburg. So I don't know if they decided together or not, but anyway, they decided this action, very Las Vegasian, in a way, in this particular case, very Las Vegasian, to put the large object there, and at the same time, I think they have the meeting rooms over there. So there are functions inside. It's not just an empty scenography. It's a part of the building, eh? And then to add this other part that was needed. These things are generating, this idea generating, this is another one, again, on that type of things. But here, again, it start to be a little more, start to be successful and again in this new phase. So it start togliersi dei sassolini dalla scarpa. Come si dice in albanese? C'è un'espressione? Perché I don't know in English. So, yeah, because now he became, so what was Fish, that was his name, used as a nickname, a bad nickname. So he was Fish, all his childhood was Fish, you smell, you're Fish. Okay, lo faccio vedere io. And so here is basically the idea of the fish became a kind of revenge in a way, a kind of playing in a positive way with this idea, or a kind of psychological taking out of the crisis and move it back again. You can imagine these techniques discussed with your psychologist. So anyway, so this is one project that is done in Japan. Japanese clearly are as crazy as Las Vegasian. And so this is a restaurant of fish, actually. And so these are part of it, and then it creates this great sculpture of the fish that, again, I don't have the plan here, but I'm pretty sure that are part where you have of the restaurant. Of course, it's not a sculpture just there. And again, you, in order to understand that, you have to really understand all the things that we've said. And also the thing that we are in the middle of 80s. So postmodernism, in a way, was an important element of the cultural debate, and Gehry was kind of using some of the idea of that cultural moment without making the arch and the columns and the capitals and all that kind of repertoire or the temple, but kind of playing with some of those ideas that were in that moment. And another project that has that idea, but already pretty more transformed in terms that became more abstract in a way, is this one on Barcelona, on the Barcelona seafront. There have been done many operations, of course, as you know, Grand Boulevard, the organization of the relationship between the sea and the city, etc., etc., etc. Among one, there is very large fish by Gehry. In this case, it's one of the few cases in which is a pure sculpture here. Here is not a building, okay? It's probably the only one. All the others are inserted within that. Okay. We go another little bit and then we have a break, okay? That's my idea. And then probably in order to arrive strong enough, we will we'll see if we have two or only one. We'll see, but we go another little bit. This is another very interesting, simple project, again of a size that you can easily imagine. And this is a little library, medium-sized library, done in Hollywood, and Hollywood in reality in Los Angeles is not a rich part of the city, although you may think so. It's a kind of a neighborhood so-and-so. And this is a public library, but is sponsored by Francis Goldwyn, which is of course the belonging to the famous Goldwyn-Mayer film production. You know that in America it's possible to do that, to basically have a system of tax deduction through which basically donation of buildings. So this is it is interesting, this building, to me, always been interesting, because you always think of Gehry as a very kind of very rich collage-like of forms, etc., etc. But when you look at this building, you are in a way surprised with how simple mean he arrived to a very interesting effect. In plan, the building, it is rather straightforward. You see it here. It is a gallery building, basically, with the two rooms of the library left and right. And those elements are, of course, with the open stack system that is now used everywhere. So it's basically a gallery with these things, and then this part that which is on the front, you see here. So rather simple, and what is very, very surprising, it is another thing. What is very surprising looking at this plan? There is one thing that is very surprising. We never saw this characteristic. There is no building of Gehry that we saw this characteristic. Which one is that? That is symmetrical, exactly. It's the first time. We never seen anything symmetrical in Gehry. But in this case, he makes symmetrical. This is rather amazing. And why? You may understand why. Because he wants, in this case, to create some kind of formality, relate to the act of the reading, relate to the act of being in a library, etc. And at the same time, have a very good use of the given dimension and also very good control of economical things, etc. So you have this that basically is almost never done by Gehry. But you understand that there is an extension of tooling, of possibility, that there is no an abstract reason why you do symmetry or asymmetry. It's not just that it's like a medicine that you have to go always in one direction. More often, of course, if you work with informality, sequence of spaces, spaziare, events, it's much logical to go in an asymmetrical process. Imagine the Loyola school that we saw before organize a kind of a sequence of symmetrical spaces. It will be a disaster. While the whole series of that project is done exactly because it's kind of sequential asymmetrical. And the pieces in their own autonomy, even if it's a figurative autonomy, they are interlocking to each other, etc. Here is completely different. It's symmetrical, amazing. It gives that effect. He wants to reach that kind of formality in this case. In this case, he wants to have a certain level of formality. And then he plays a very interesting thing in the facade, which is another interesting trick that he plays in the facade, to play and not play with that idea. That again is a trick important to know. I don't know if somebody understands that in looking at this image. What is the trick? He plays with that idea, exactly. So, if this should be really symmetrical, you expect that it be, you expect that it be,
right? You expect this, right? In symmetrical.
Instead, what he does, he makes this trick that he plays, you see, with this other part of, it's not like that. It is like this in profile, like this. So these two, this piece, instead of being put it there, is put it there. So it's like if you, so this phrase is very interesting kind of movement. It's very simple, but whoever symmetrical will be too much in the facade, you know? So this plays very nicely with this aspect that it creates kind of a little tension to it, like it kind of creates a movement. You know, in the book I find a very nice expression. I said that it's like an Egyptian that you see in the profile. You know, it's very well written in Italian, just a similar part. It's just one up phrase, but to get this idea that there is that kind of movement. And here is in Italy. And you just if you imagine that you become symmetrical in the facade, how banal it will be. Right? And so this place, and then what is very interesting here is also how the architecture of Gehry can be done with the rather simple mean. Rather simple mean. So you don't always have to have collage, different materials, or this, or that, or that. This is just stucco. It's just, you know, everything is white, very simple material, very straightforward things, but in he achieves, I think, a very, very nice effect. So I always... because you have to understand that when I wrote the book, when I've done this, I had to select the work. Because one thing is selection the work, because what we see and what we discuss, well, basically is 25% of Gehry production, more or less, probably, yeah, around that. So there is a reason why you pick, why I picked a different building within this structure, and why I will do these things. So that's why I was putting attention to that. Okay, so I think we can have a little break here, then continue, and then pretty much organize the rest. We have other two or three parts, theoretical parts, then we discuss about in the afternoon, or we mix the thing about the whole idea of the scacchiera, etc., to organize the thing. Quanto facciamo? Un quarto d'ora? Oh, what do you think? Okay. Thank you.